let's just bow our heads in prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, we come to you, and we're at this point of the service, Lord, we're asking for your guidance, Lord, to come and bring this little teaching on yours from your word here tonight, Father, to be a help, Lord, and strengthening, Lord, to us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're still in chapter 7, and I'll see how far we get along in here tonight. There's just so many different things laid in here doctrine-wise in this chapter, and I've just I'm kind of breaking it up to focus on one thing within it as much as we can, but we'll see how far we can get within there tonight. I want to begin reading at verse 20 of the 7th chapter. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is God's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. You may be seated. Studying this through about abiding in your calling is these verses is what Paul's dealing with. And you realize all these letters that Paul wrote is just like the rest of the Bible. There's doctrine is woven through it, and it's just like to be able to place scriptural doctrine in the New Testament. You can't just go to one place, one verse, or one scripture in the New Testament to really establish and show that the doctrine. You have to, it's kind of woven through the Bible, and but looking in this and how brother Paul was saying how important it is to stay in your calling, and I was reading things that Brother Branham had to say about it, and Brother Branham goes to the story about King Uzziah. And if you remember about Uzziah, he was in the time of Isaiah, and Isaiah wrote about him, but also Uzziah's wrote about in 2 Chronicles. And Uzziah actually became king of Judah when he was 16 years old. So he was a very young man, young boy, actually, when he became king of Judah. And Uzziah's father was a man who really followed God and honored God and respected God, and he raised Uzziah that way. And so Uzziah, when he became king of Judah, he also honored God and respected God and kept the ways of God in the kingdom of Judah and the worship of Jehovah, and he did a lot of good things within the kingdom while he was king. But because he done so much good, and because he got, and God blessed him because of all the good he was doing for the Lord, and God blessed him being a king, the Bible tells us he got lifted up. And after he got lifted up, why, he thought he would take and go and burn the incense in the place of the priest in the temple. And so he went to take the place of one of the priests. And the thing that we find in the scripture, God never called him for that. And the priests of the temple at that time they came and they withstood him and told him that he shouldn't do this, that this was given to those who were consecrated by God, the sons of Aaron, to come and minister in the temple this way, and that he was not called for this. But he got very angry at them and took the censer in his hand and went on up to offer this incense anyway in the place of a priest. And because of what he did, all the good that he did, but because he got out of his position that God had placed him in and tried to take on a position or a calling that God never called him to, then God smote him with leprosy. And the Bible says that he died a leper. Brother Branham dealt with this in the message of influence. And in the message of influence, Brother Branham was actually speaking, as he did many times, at these Christian Businessmen Association meetings. And there was an association of Christian businessmen. And they would have these meetings and ask Brother Branham to come speak. And Brother Branham was instructing him, saying, you know, just because you're a businessman and you are successful in that, don't ever try to be a preacher. If you're going to have these meetings, don't try to get up and speak at them yourself, but make sure you have someone to come do it that's called to preach. And he says, because God never called you for that, and you'd be getting out of your place. And then he brings out this example about Uzziah and how Uzziah had got out of his place trying to take the place, Brother Branham says, as a preacher. And he says, that Uzziah, well, God, you know, sometimes people can think, well, God's blessing me. And so in what they're doing, and so then they get to saying, well, I'll try to do this or that. And Brother Branham says, don't ever get that in your head. God calls, predestinates, and foreordains to his glory. And, I've seen in my time in serving the Lord and in my time in the ministry, I've seen and came across different ones who raised up, and this one wanted to be a pastor, and they wanted to be a preacher, or this one wanted to be an evangelist, and the thing is, and then you watch their life, and you find out God never called them for such. And if God never called them for it, then they're going to make a mess of it. And Brother Branham says, and when they do that, then he says, then you got the world out there pointing a finger. He says, because Satan got involved with them, and Satan got them deceived in their mind, thinking they were called to do something when they weren't. And when they step out then in a position that God never called them for, then Satan can actually come and deceive them and actually bring great damage by using them in a position that they'd never been called for. And, the thing is, you look at Uzziah, God blessed him in the capacity that he called him for. And that was to be a king and to lead the country. But then when he got outside of that and tried to step into another, and you know, the thing is, why do people want to do that? And you know, many times people get to thinking, well, I want to do something for God. Well, you know, there's more to do for God than just preach. Brother Branham says, if you're called to be a housewife, be the very best one you can be. He says, God's placed you there to teach your children. Be the best teacher of your children that you can be. Do the best job. Be the best at that job, he says, that God's called you to do. He says, if God called you to be a factory worker, then go there and work in the factory and be a witness, because that's what God's called us all to be, is witnesses. Be witnesses of Christ. And God then places us in different places where we can witness for the Lord. And one person can't do it all. The Bible tells us that we are a many-membered body, and that one member is not above another member. One person is not more important than another person in the kingdom of God. It's just like Brother Branham brings his analogy, talking about this in the message of the influence of another, and he goes to the analogy of using American football. And he says, you know, everybody wants to carry the ball. And he says, not everybody can carry the ball. He says, but if everybody's trying to carry the ball and you got nobody out there blocking, then you're not going to get anywhere. He says, if you got nobody out there helping in the fight, you know, look, maybe not everybody's called to preach, but everybody's called to pray. And you can pray for those that God has called to preach. And it also said that, you know, if you can't go, then send somebody. You know, if you're not called for it, but yet you can, God has placed you in the position that he's placed you in. And look, friends, the ministry needs support. Because they, you know, to be able to give your time to the ministry and preaching and pastoring and that, or even a man on the field, an evangelistic field, it's impossible to be a man on the evangelistic field and hold down a full-time job. You just can't do it. And you know, I know there has been many men that have been pastors and have held down full-time jobs, but I'm going to tell you this, something suffers somewhere. That's the truth, because you know, you can only give so much of yourself. There's only so much of yourself to go around. And so the Bible tells us God has a way that he provided to be able to support and provide for the ministry. And that was through tithing. Well, if there's nobody else out there that's placed to work in these other positions and things, then there's going to be no tithing coming in. And so God has placed you in your position. And you know, many times people think, well, I'm just a laity person. Well, I'll tell you something, friends. Your prayers mean a lot to God and to the church of God. And you know, there's battles that we all go through. And there are battles that the ministry goes through. And I'll tell you this, I grew up as a pastor's son. And I learned firsthand what all went into the sacrifice of being a pastor, and by witnessing it through my father. And I saw the things that he experienced, the experiences he had with people and interaction with people. I saw people love him and I saw people hate him. And I saw all the things he went through. And I'll tell you what, growing up, I didn't want any part of it. I find these other young men sometimes that spring up and this one gets saved and so all of a sudden they want to be a preacher. And I don't understand that. I never wanted to be a preacher. When I was 18 years old and I moved up to Lorain, Ohio, up to where Mina was going to church at the time. And when I moved up there, the pastor at the time, you know, he came and was asking me, and what he really wanted to know was, did I think I was called to preach? And, you know, he had his own reasons I won't get into for wanting to know this. But, you know, I told him, I said, no, I'm not. And I said, you know, I sing. And I said, you know, that's my service to the Lord and to his people. I sing. And I said, that's all I want to do. And so I never wanted to be a preacher. And it's hard for me sometimes to understand over the times in my life that I've came across other young men and they just are wanting so bad to be a preacher, and then things prove out that they were never called to be a preacher. And I have trouble understanding, why do they want to be one? Because it's not fun. And it's, as a pastor, I have to tell you, it's a great responsibility getting up into the pulpit and knowing that people's eternal souls are riding on what you're preaching. And so you're responsible for them. And you're responsible to God for what you say. And you know, you can't just get up and tell a good story. You can't just, some people think, well, you know, I've seen one young man one time that someone else mentioned to me about him, and I had, before I'd ever saw him preach, and they said, he's a very anointed, highly anointed individual. And so when I heard him preach, I didn't pick that up. What I picked up, he got very excited. And getting excited and being anointed is not the same thing. The anointing can make you excited. But just screaming and being loud and seeming excited doesn't mean you're anointed. If a man is really anointed to preach, then friends, what comes out of his mouth is going to have some weight to it. It's going to make sense. It's going to have something that has an effect on you and your life. And because you realize, what is the whole purpose of preaching? The whole purpose of preaching is preparing us, getting us ready with the word to be positionally placed in Christ, and preparing us to leave out of here. And you know, and it's and hearing the word, it makes us better individuals. It makes us better people. It makes us better fathers. It makes us better mothers. It makes us better mothers and better brothers and sisters. It makes us because the word, it's molding our lives. It's just not about knowing great mysteries or being able to spout off a bunch of quotes, but actually the preaching is about helping us to live the word, not just be able to quote the word or spout off some kind of mysteries of the word, but actually being able to live it, the life of Christ live through us. And that's what it's all about. It's preaching's not about lifting up the man who's doing the preaching. It's not about him being such a great speaker that everybody looks up to him. Now, I know that does happen, but that's not what it's about. And you realize those people who chase after things like that, they never get grounded themselves. And, God, Brother Branham says, God has his program, and he will set you and place you in Christ just where he thinks you'll work best for him. You just stay in your calling. Don't try to get somebody else's calling. Stay in your own calling. He says, if you're a housewife, remain a housewife. Whatever God's called you to do, just remain there. He knows where to put his hand on you and how to use you. So God knows how to use you. And many times people think, well, what do? I come to church and, I sing along with the other people in that, but I don't hold a position in the church. And, what do I do? But friends, look, we're all warriors for Christ. And when we come here, we're doing battle because there are demons that come and want to bring hindrance. And when you come and worship, Brother Branham says, when you begin to worship, you send those demons to fly, because they don't want to stay where the praises of God's people are. You realize, friends, look, we're all called to be Christians. And the thing we want to do is be the very best Christian. And the way you can be the very best Christian is just being what God has called you to be. Brother Branham said, if God called you to be a factory worker, then go witness at the factory. If just be the best worker there that you can be. Many times people don't realize this is being Christians. Look, You're watched. How you work, you're watched. You know, there's a lot of people that go to collect paychecks. They don't want to really work. And they try to get out of as much work as they can. Now, a real Christian won't do that. A real Christian knows what he or she's getting paid for. They're going to put their time in. They're not going to be looking for a way to just get by. You don't want to rob from the company you're working for. And you know, Brother Branham mentions many times about housewives, and he calls them and mothers, and that. And you realize, friends, what I saw was the many times Brother Branham mentioned it, he was showing how important that role really is. Because, you know, you're raising your children, and you're teaching your children. And, you know, you are actually the first line of defense for your children in this world. And you don't just teach them there's a God, but you also tell them, look, the devil's real. And you point out the snares and traps the devil lays as, you know, as they progress in age and understanding. And, you know, you set the tone. You know, Brother Branham actually even said that motherhood was the backbone of the country. And, you know, and as fathers, and, you know, we are called to be husbands, and we're called to be wives, and we're called to be fathers and mothers. And, you know, the thing is, your testimony or your reputation is what goes before you, and how you, and many times we preach on this here and bring this out, about how you react to situations and how you act and react in front of your family and in front of your children. And, you know, the thing is, friends, you're going to answer to God for that. So don't take those things lightly. That, you know, when things, you know, you get upset about something, you just want to fly off the handle. I'm going to tell you something. You're supposed to be an example in your home, and you're going to answer to God for that. Because he called you to be that example. He called you to be that as a father and a mother and a husband and a wife. You know, God... when God calls a person, look, whatever that, listen, when you're born into this world, you were born into this world for a purpose. Everyone has a purpose. And, you know, we many times as humans, we like to say, well, this purpose is greater than that purpose. There's no such thing as that. Everyone has a purpose, and the purpose that you were born in this life for is important. And nobody else can fill that place but you. Nobody else can do that but you. It's just like if I, you know, God called me to come and pastor this church, if I got out and tried to do what you did, then I'm getting out of my place. And I'll tell you, God corrected me over things like that early on when I first started pastoring, because I would, you know, at a certain time of the year, finances would get tight. And when finances would get tight, I'd start thinking about getting another job. And I tried it a couple of times early on, and I'll tell you what, I got into a lot of trouble over it. And one time... I ended up spending more money on some flat tires because I was going around trying to serve papers to people who were defaulting on their loans. And I was driving all over creation, and I got into a bunch of nails. And what I earned for that month, I had to spend out in tires. So I didn't make anything. And, you know, and it was a lesson for me. And God really rebuked me over that. And so the Bible says that we are, for we have a many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. It says, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. And Brother Branham said in one message of spiritual adoption, he said, you know, I want to, when I come to the end of the road, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And many times when people think about that, they think directly of the ministry. But it's not just the ministry. Brother Branham says in here, he says, I don't want to just make it by the skin of my teeth, but I want it's well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord, for you did well with what you had to do. Maybe you're a housewife. If you are, God made you a teacher of your children. Do a good job of it, regardless of what you have to do. Do it well. And so whatever God's placed you in, then you give the best you can in that, what God has placed you in. Do the best job you can. Then at the end of this life, he will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. In the message of Hear Ye Him, let me go back to this message here in Tyson Spirits. He says, give me a preacher, give me a Christian, give me a housewife that's a Christian, give me a farmer or a factory worker that'll put God first. I'll show you a man that'll be successful in spite of all the devil can put on him. So if you stay in what God called you to do, you'll be successful. If you try to step outside of what God's called you to do, to try to do in another calling, you're not going to be successful. God won't bless you in it. He says here, in Hear Ye Him, he says, give them special jobs, he's praying, in the great vineyard of God. If it's a little housewife, thou knowest where to put her. If it's a man in the office or in a plant, you know just where to put him to do the best work. The man on the street or the man out on the farm, you know just where to put him. Thou knowest all things, and to place positionally where to place them. Now, when this is the thing, you don't, like a man that God's called to preach, be a pastor or teacher or whatever, when they first start off in their ministry, especially young, you can tell the inexperience. They haven't had the years of the experiences that they went through to actually be able to draw from. And so they grow in their ministry. But the thing is, the gift they're born with, you can't teach it. You can't give it to somebody. Someone can't learn how to be a preacher. They can learn how to be a good speaker. But to be a preacher is more than just speaking. It's actually being able to get into a channel with God and allow God to come down and use you as a mouthpiece so that he can speak. And learning how to yield into that. It's something you can grow into, but it's not something that you can just come down and teach somebody. Teach them how to preach. They're either a preacher or they're not. These Brother Branham says, if a person is called to be a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet, they're born with those traits in them. The ability, they're born with the ability to do it. The call is on their life. All they need to do is heed to that call and yield to it, and God will begin to bless through it. Brother Branham's asked a question in questions and answers. Well, before I get to that, let me just read this one to you from the India trip report. Brother Branham says, he don't tell his servants all things, but when he wants to use you, he can put his hand on you and take you here and do it. If you'll just be humble and stay in your position, he can make you make more glory of it than all the diddle-daddling along that you could do or I can do. So if you'll just go, whatever God has placed you in and called you in, then if you yield to that, God will get more glory from your life than you trying to be something God never called you to be. And like I said, I don't understand a lot of times these young men that say they're called to preach, and the first thing they want to do is they want to be a pastor. I gotta tell you something, pastoring's a hard job. It's a hard calling. And Brother Dan Daisley used to say, he says, if a man's a pastor, he's either called or he's crazy. Because it's a great responsibility. I've done some evangelistic work. I've evangelized. And I'll tell you, one of the things about being, and you know, if you're an evangelist, you got to be called to do that as well. Because you can't pack your family with you everywhere you go. And, you know, if evangelists many times, you know, it's great when they can take their family and go somewhere with them, but many times they've got to go on their own and be gone from home and maybe gone for some time. Because if a person's an evangelist full time, then they've got to, their life is dedicated to actually being more away from home than being at home. And that's not easy. That's not an easy life. But the thing about evangelizing is you get anointed for a message, and you go into a church, and you don't know those people. You don't know their day-to-day life. You're not there with them. You're not their pastor. You don't know their comings and goings. And so you can come in there and just burn the place down with the word, you know, and let the shots fall where they're going to fall, and then you're up and out of there and gone. You don't worry about it. And, but when you're a pastor, why, you know, the people know many times you're there. You're with them. There's things you find out. There's things you learn. There's things that over the years of being a pastor in the same place, you begin to learn the families, and you learn the people, and you learn the individuals, and you you get history with them. And there's times where as an evangelist, somebody can say, "Well, he's my friend," but the thing is, he's not there to get in your backyard all the time, you know. And get up, seeming like get up in your business. But as a pastor, it seems like sometimes the Lord uses him to actually get up in your business sometimes. And the thing is, then, you want to be friends, but then you've got to be able to accept that just because you're friends, he's not going to pull any punches. You know, because your life depends on it. The most important thing is your soul. That's the most important thing about any individual, is their soul. Many times we get so concerned with the flesh. But the flesh is not the most important thing, because, friends, this flesh is going to pass away. This flesh is not eternal. And I thank God for that. Amen. I thank God that I'm going to have an eternal body. But I'm glad this ain't it. Brother Bram's asked a question in questions and answers. How does one know their right position in the body of Christ? He said, I'm presuming this brother wants to know what position, what in Christ, what part of Christ do I play? Now, for instance, I say this. Your position in Christ is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And if you want to know whether it's the Holy Spirit or not, find out whether he blesses what you're doing or not. If he blesses it, then it's the Holy Spirit. You know, but if he doesn't bless it, then that wasn't the Holy Spirit that led you to that. Brother Branham said, like someone said to me long ago, the Lord called me to preach. I said, well, then preach. See, he said, but Satan, if he can get somebody as to act like that and then deceive them, then that's just what he wants to do. Then the whole world points a finger right there. Somebody thinks they got a gift, and they don't. And sometimes they're mistaken in those things. And then he says sometimes they think they haven't got it when they have. I've been there where, like I spoke to you when I was 18 and I was asked the question, I didn't think I was called to preach, and I sure didn't feel it back then. And you know, it took the Lord to reveal it to me. And, you know, I had to actually accept it. I had to accept that God had called me because I didn't want it. You know, and Brother Branham says in The Man Running from the Presence of God, he says, God usually calls the man who's running from it, not the one who's running toward it. The one who wants to do it, usually God never called him to do it, you know. And he said, so always do this, brother. Whenever you feel that you're supposed to do a thing, first find out if it's scriptural for you to do it. Now, some years ago, we had a lot of folks that were coming here to church, and we had some new ones come in, and out of the new ones that came in, there was a couple of brothers who, and they come in and they were telling me they were called to preach. And so initially, not knowing really anything about them or their background, I accepted that what they were saying, that they believed that, but I never had any of them come up here and give them an opportunity to preach. I just waited before the Lord. And then as a little time went on, and then I found out that there was problems in the marriage. There was problems with marriage and divorce and different things of that nature. Things that in their life didn't fit the qualifications of being a minister, a preacher. And the thing is, if God's called somebody to be a preacher, then their life is going to fit within those qualifications, those scriptural qualifications. And you know, a man that's married to a divorcee, God never called him to preach. If he did, then the brother missed his calling and went and married a divorcee and got himself into a situation of marriage that disqualifies him. You know, if a man has been married and then divorced and remarried, and all, I'm telling you, friends, he can't hold a position in the ministry because that's a scriptural qualification. And so there's, and I've seen those that that are young, they're just young, and no experience whatsoever at all, but God's calling them to be a pastor. And the Bible says that don't let a novice be a pastor, somebody who's young and inexperienced, lest that they would get lifted up and fall. And because they've had no time of experience in the Lord. And so to be a pastor, you've got to have some time of experience in the Lord and in the ministry. And Brother Branham says, see if it's scriptural for you to do it. If it's in the scripture, not just wrote in one place, but I mean completely scriptural through the Bible for you to do it. If your position, say if you'd be an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, a prophet, whatever God called you to be, or if you have a gift of tongues or gift interpretations or any of the nine spiritual gifts of the church, any position, first see if God called. And he said, then usually the way I watch for it myself is this. I watch the nature of the person to see what kind of a gift they're professing, to see if God will work with his creature the way that he's made him. In other words, does the nature the person have fit what they're professing to be, what God's called them to be? And Brother Benham goes on to explain this. He says, see, like if a man was real flighty and going on, and he says, the Lord called me to be a pastor. Now, a pastor can't be a flighty person. A pastor's got to be solid and sound. And then if a man said, God called me to be a teacher, and then watch him how he interprets the word. And if he gets it all mixed up and everything, then you can tell. God never called him. We can do the most for God. That's why Paul's saying is abide in your calling. You can do the most for God, being whatever it is God has called you to be. Then thinking, I really want to do something for God. And so maybe I'll get up and maybe God's called me to get up and exhort. No. You really want to do something for God, just be what God's made you. And you will do the most for God in whatever he's made you to be. And you know, all of us as people, we have to deal with nerves from time to time. And I'll tell you something, friends. When you know as a minister that you've got to get up and preach, and you know that people's souls are hanging on every word that what you're going to say, and that that can make you very nervous. And you know, when you're in preparation for it, and then I can tell you this: when you know God's called you to preach, or like God's called me to be a pastor. And then, I'm waiting for an inspiration for something to preach. And God's called me to preach, but I got nothing to say. And then I'm at home during the week, and my mind tries to bother me to make it worse on me, saying, you ain't got nothing. The service is approaching. Sunday's on its way. Thursday's on its way. What do you got? And you've just got to wait patiently on the Lord to bring the inspiration. I mean, I've got the database of the message at home to search through all the messages that Brother Branham preached, and the database to search through all the scriptures of the Bible. But unless I get inspired, I can't just say, well, I'll just grab any old scripture and walk up there and read it, and we'll just say a few words about it. I've got to get inspired for it. And that brings a lot of pressure on you. If I was a person that wasn't called for that, I sure wouldn't want that pressure. I'm called for it, and I don't like the pressure, the burdens of the people, the pastor is called to be a burden bearer. And he's with you in your lives from day to day. and things you go through. You got a question, you contact the pastor. You've got something you need prayer for, you contact the pastor. You've got a decision you're needing to make, and you need some leadership of the Lord, and you need someone to pray for you, pray with you on it, and you call the pastor. You're faced with a situation, and you don't know how to handle it. And so you call the pastor for some advice. And then you think the pastor just gives you that advice, and then it just rolls off of him like water off a duck's back, and he just walks on and like as if you never said anything to him about it. No, he carries that around with him. And you know what it's like to carry your own burdens. Think about carrying yours plus other people's. And you've got concern. You as fathers and mothers, and you're raising your children, and you got concerns about your children, and you've got to deal with from time to time, you get to worrying over it. And so then the pastor, you realize the pastor, he's bringing messages from God, and there's instruction in there, and there's guidance, and then there's correction. And then when he sees that the people that the correction and guidance are coming to aren't changing, then that becomes a burden on him, because then he's given everything he's got to bring what God is putting on his heart to bring, and then it seems like that it's not having the effect. That wears on you, and if you're not called for that, I'll tell you, you won't be able to stand up under it. Because Brother Branham says, when God calls a man, he actually builds that man for that calling. If, like he said, the pastor is a burden bearer, he's the ox of the team, he calls him. You know, he bears the burdens of the people. Well, he's built for that. But he's also human. And he's got to learn to be able to give the advice, pray with the individuals, pray for the individuals, and commit it to the Lord. And let the Lord actually do the work, because the pastor can't actually do the work. It's the same thing in your life with things that you're facing. You've got to learn to be able to pray and then commit it to God and let God take care of it. So he says, I watch the nature of a person to see what kind of a gift they're professing, to see if God will work with this creature in the way that he's made him. So God makes you for what he, whatever purpose that he has brought you into this world for, he equipped you for that purpose. And you got to realize this, you're the best he's got. God don't put you in there just say, give it your best try. God equips you for whatever it is that he's called you to do. God equips you for it. If God's called you to be a musician in the church, then God's equipped you with that. He equipped you with it. Equipped you for it. If God called you to be a song leader, God equips you for that. And you know, and I'll tell you, just because a person can play the piano doesn't mean they can play the piano for church. Maybe a person can play the piano and sing a special, but that's not the same thing as playing every song, every service that the song leader has picked out. You know, it's not the same thing. Just because a person can sing doesn't mean they can be a song leader. A song leader doesn't have to be the one who carries the best tune. He has to be one that God has called for it and actually has the ability to actually catch the leadership of the Spirit for that service. And if you notice how that we do here after the preaching, we have our song leader come back up. And I'll tell you something, that takes something special too. Before I ever started preaching, I started out being a song leader. And I gave time to that and for preparation for the services and that. And knowing that I had to get the leadership for the Holy Spirit for that service, for what songs, because it was important, because it's preparing the people for the word to come forth. It's getting the people in the Spirit for the word to come forth. And then I was asked to come up after the preaching and lead the people in the worship. And that's a little bit different than just leading the singing in worship before the preaching. Because after that, the Holy Spirit has actually flowed out over the congregation in the preaching of the word, and has is moving then on the hearts of the people. And then, a person gets up, and maybe the Holy Spirit is coming in a soft wooing sort of way, and they get up and start singing some fast, hard beating song. They're going to break the move of the Spirit. They got to be able to catch the move of the Spirit and stay with that, how the Holy Spirit's leading. And so, it's these things, you've got to be called for them. And, you just being able to carry a tune doesn't mean you can do that. You've got to be called for that. And God makes each one of you special for whatever position or whatever he's called you for in this life. Whatever he brought you into this life for, he made you special for that. Hallelujah, let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, now at this point of the service, Lord, and the word has come forth. And Lord, I trust that it's been encouraging. Lord, I know sometimes it's the enemy that comes sometimes and tries to discourage people by making them think they're not doing anything. But Lord, whatever that you've placed them in, they're doing what you have placed them to do. Lord, the people pulling when a man is preaching, the people that are amending the word, they're just as important as the man that's up there preaching the word. They're very important. It's I've been in those situations, Lord, where the congregation's just seemingly been dead and dry, and it's hard to preach. But when you've got people that are pulling and they're with you and they're paying attention and they're actually drawing from it, and that it makes the preaching a whole lot easier, because it's the flow of the Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless your people, Lord. Now, Father, you know, Lord, the jobs that they have tomorrow and the things they have to do and coming on into this weekend, and I pray, Lord, you'll watch over them and keep them safe and bring us back here at the appointed time, Father, and bless us on Sunday with your word again in Jesus' name.